You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
For 20 years, I lived as a single parent raising my two birth children. And during those years, I got help from a wonderful woman, a medium by the name of Kay Hamill. When I had a problem or a decision to make or something I needed to understand, I could talk with Kay. She would use her psychic abilities to get answers for me, providing me the information I needed to make good decisions and keep myself and my family on track. And I stood in awe of her abilities. I want you to know I never thought I'd be able to do something similar, helping others to find answers for themselves. But then last year, on this show, I encountered the Accessing Universal Intelligence Group, which helps people develop their abilities to get in contact with and work with universal intelligence. And since then, we've had monthly shows offering you the opportunity to get guidance and answers for your questions. Today, we have another member of the UI group, the amazing Audrey Pearson, here with us to answer your questions and give the guidance you need to keep yourself on track. Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your show creator and host. And remember that today's show is interactive. We want you to call in and ask your questions. And our toll-free number, which is on both of the chats, is 888-498-0570. 888-498-0570. And we also invite you to listen not only to the answer for your own question, but to the answers for other people's, because we found that people get a huge amount from listening to all the answers. Well, who is Audrey Pearson and why am I raving about her so much? Because I just love her. Growing up, Audrey was described as high-strung and born old. Those are her mother's words. As a teenager, she became even more high-strung because she was studying diligently for straight A's. She was nominated as a senior prefect at her Australian high school. And she also cried nearly every day in secret for reasons she didn't know. When she finished university, when she also was an honor student there, she moved on to a high-paying, high-stress commercial banking job. The Audrey, who used to exist, was competent and high-strung, maintaining herself by taking copious amounts of antidepressants and religiously attending appointments with her psychologist, her naturopath, her homeopath, her chiropractor, anyone who said they could help with depression. She believed the doctors when they said it was a chemical imbalance that she'd have to live with for the rest of her life. I got a diagnosis that was like that once, too. That's a terrible diagnosis. She also believed there must be someone somewhere who knew how to manage her challenges without pain or medication. So after a couple of decades, she stumbled into universal intelligence and walked herself through healing her illnesses, both real and imagined. She now spends most of her time in the United States with her husband, teaching and training others to be their truth, to heal, and to be their amazing self. Audrey is a senior mentor at Accessing Universal Intelligence, where she supports and guides many people, including me. She's still the best at what she does, but now it's because it's who she really is. Audrey Pearson, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you, Eileen. What a beautiful introduction.
Well, I think it would be helpful if we talk a bit about what is different about you since you encountered Universal Intelligence Group and began working with them?
Yeah, absolutely. It was such an interesting period in my life. As Eileen alluded to, I was used to being diligent at whatever my challenges were. I'd really been brought up strictly in the sort of thought pattern of, doesn't matter what problem you have, there's a way to deal with it intelligently and reasonably emotionlessly through accessing experts. So when I encountered Universal Intelligence, it was through a NLP coach, a neuro-linguistic programming coach who I'd spent the past 6 months working weekly with on deconstructing negative emotions. And it had been a really intense 6 months, you know, quite expensive too in its cost. But she said to me, look, I've heard about some people that live near you, a couple of hours north of where you live in Australia, and they're doing some pretty amazing things with whole brain intelligence. You should check them out. And I didn't really know what whole brain intelligence was, but, you know, like I said, I was used to just following the instructions of those who were more experienced and you know, experts in their fields. So Julie, I rang this phone number. And in those days, you could still occasionally get Daniel Rechnitzer on the telephone, which I know your viewers are familiar with. And so I had this chat to this guy, and I do remember getting off the phone and thinking, he either really knows what he's talking about or he's really off the deep end in whatever he's on. But it, like I said, I was just used to following the road no matter how well-trodden and no matter how muddy it was. I just kept diligently going, well, somebody's got to know something. I need to keep going. So I duly got in my car a couple of weeks after that and drove 3 hours to a class Daniel was holding. And it was a weekend-long seminar, and it's a wonder I learned anything because I was literally in the bathroom at least 50% of the time being unwell. Mm. The identity, the strong identity that I was holding, that was the depressed but, you know, outwardly competent, et cetera, as you described, Audrey was just rebelling tremendously against the idea that, oh, my goodness, I think we've actually found the end of the road. We've actually found someone who has answers. And what was so fascinating to me was that the person who had the answers wasn't an expert on me. He was an expert on allowing me to be my own expert. And that really was a concept that blew me away to the extent that my body couldn't handle it because it was so firmly attached to that identity of, no, 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 somebody else has to fix this for me. I will pay, but you have to fix it for me.
Wow.
So what's different now, Audrey? What's different now?
Yeah, well, now I am that expert. I am the expert on me and what's in my highest good, and I no longer need to seek outside of myself for those answers. If I have something going on in my body, something going on in my life that isn't working for me, I simply literally ask the me that I have become, the limitless me, the me that has all the answers and access to the infinity, I suppose, of myself, and I find out exactly what's going on, exactly what's needed to heal it or shift it or whatever the issue is, and what action steps I need to put in place to affect that particular change. Mm-hmm. So I'm now literally walking around as my own expert. And it's a very serene and calm place to be because there's really no problem you can encounter that you can't get over very, very quickly.
That's really great. You know, we have a caller, Priscilla, and I don't want to make her wait any longer. So thank you for telling me that. I'm sure that that's really interesting to people who are listening and also to acknowledge that that's possible for them, too. We'll talk about that a little bit more. So, Priscilla, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
Good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
What's your question for Audrey?
Well, I'm going to ask one question now, and then I'll probably ask another question later on in the show after I hear more from Audrey. My first question is, I'm getting ready to have a big show, and I'm hoping that it's going to be very successful. I'm a recently retired dean from a community college where I had a large staff when I got ready to do something, and I had very high standards, and I'm sort of approaching this at the same way, but I don't have a large staff anymore, so I only have a few people to help me, and I don't know if it's going to be at all successful. So how do I get my mind ready for whatever happens and learn from the experience if it doesn't go well, and understand the difference between doing things as a big manager and then doing things as a retired person, sort of more on your own. How do I keep my energy and my mind straight to make this work?
What a fascinating question, Priscilla, and I know it's something that a lot of people go through, that anxiety of, you know, pulling something off that other people will be viewing, let alone you viewing their reaction to it. So I think it's a perfect question, Priscilla, not only for yourself, but many of those who will be listening. And the message that's coming through very strongly for you is that, as in your previous professional career, you had an amazing ability to cut through the dense layers of, I suppose, tasks and items to be done in order to be able to effectively instruct the staff that were assisting you as to what needed to happen in order to create the effect. You really have this, I'm seeing your ability to kind of tilt your head to one side and look through almost a diagonal cross prism of the issue to see exactly what's required to, you know, create the result that you're seeing at the other end of that, you know, cross-sectional tunnel, so to speak. So what I'm hearing for you, Priscilla, is very much remember that you have that capacity and therefore know that irrespective of whether you have many people or a few people helping you, you retain that vision, and therefore all that's required is for you to communicate, hey, guys, the speed of what we need to deal with is XYZ in order to create the ultimate result of ABC, for example. So it's not the big or the smallness of the staff, it's not the big or the smallness of the event that's in question, it's simply you remembering and focusing on your ability to cut right through any layers of confusion and fog, and just know what it is you need to do and communicate that clearly, which again is something I feel you're extremely good at.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. That helped.
Hold just a minute, Priscilla. Audrey, did you have more?
The only other part to that message that was coming through, Priscilla, was that this show will be a success as long as the content matter is in alignment with your passion. If it is something you are genuinely passionate about sharing, then that is what will come through as the blossom of the flower, and in that way it will be beautiful to all who perceive it.
Oh, thank you, and that is the case. It is definitely one of my passions, and they will be able to see that as soon as they walk in the door.
Wonderful. Well, in that case, Priscilla, really just take a breath, relax into that heart and passion of yours, and know that your communication style and your directives will be followed, because that is coming from that place of true passion and true understanding of that. So enjoy it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
That's really great, Audrey. Listening to Priscilla ask that question, I was thinking she couldn't ask a better person because she was being high strung, if you will, right? And you know about these things.
So perfectionism is such an interesting thing in society. You know, so many of us hold ourselves to standards that are in many cases, you know, strainful and stressful in order to attain. So it's something that everybody goes through in one level, whether they consider themselves, you know, perfectionists or not. So I think it's always very, I suppose, refreshing to understand that if we have a certain goal in mind, provided we're able to see that that's part of our purpose, that's part of what, you know, makes our eyes sparkle, then we will be able to easily find a way to create that particular result without needing to stress about every little detail and not be able to enjoy the ride.
You know, another thing that I hear whenever you gave that answer to Priscilla is the whole issue that is addressed by universal intelligence, which is to believe in ourselves, to realize what we actually have inside of ourselves. Because as you were talking to Priscilla, I'm thinking, she has obviously done a fantastic job helping other people, doing things that a lot of people wouldn't be able to do if she was able to command a large group and run programs in a junior college and so forth. And yet, when she gets on her own, she forgets that she has certain abilities. And we all do that.
Yeah. And as you say, that's very much what we are doing at Universal Intelligence, is really allowing people to remember who they are on the inside, which is somebody who is able to create everything that they require, because they are their perfect self. There's nobody more qualified than you to be Eileen, than me to be Audrey, and Priscilla to be Priscilla. And when we remember not to look outside of ourselves, but to look within side of ourselves, we always find we have exactly what we need in order to create the results that we are seeking.
Mm-hmm. I had a great experience of that in the last week that I'd like to share with you. As you know, I'm going to Ireland next month, and I'm going to be giving a speech at an international parenting conference for Parenting 2.0 on LinkedIn in Dublin. And I needed to prepare my speech. And I have an enormous amount of things that I'm doing right now. And I was beginning to talk to myself the way I used to, which is, how in the world am I ever going to get all this done? And I thought, wait a minute. I have a higher self, I have abilities, I should not be working so hard. And so I went to my higher self and I asked my higher self to create the speech. Why should I work so hard? And I woke up about a week ago, and I had the opening words in my head. I went and sat down and wrote out the speech word for word as it just fell out of my head. And then I read it out loud, and it was within 20 seconds of the time limit that I have. It was just perfect.
Now, I
did have the idea of the story I wanted to start with, but other than that, the speech was written by my higher self, which essentially is what you call the highest and best part of me. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know I've been delving very much in the last couple of weeks into where I was automatically reacting as, you know, just a human being, as a being that believed I had limitations on what I could physically create and physically do, and really where I was not allowing myself to be that universal part of myself, that infinite, highest and best part of myself that had no limits. So it's been really interesting for me to go through and look at where I was just automatically defaulting to, I guess, being just human, when I really had access to a much larger part of myself and therefore a much larger creative and therefore result-oriented ability within myself. So
right.
I absolutely love that story, Eileen. It's definitely happened to me before. And it's so beautiful for me when and for everybody, when we remember that we're all geniuses. We are all absolute inner geniuses, and what my husband calls inner awesome. He's like, so are we being inner awesome today or are we not? That's a really good question. Remind ourselves that, hey, genius is us. Genius is every part of us. We've just got to be allowing of that to come forward. And when we allow ourselves to access self-belief, that's the absolute vital ingredient in order to create that space for that.
Right.
It's really wonderful. Thank you for sharing that story, Eileen.
Yeah, I want to make a point here, because you were talking about your husband, talking about inner awesome. I just want to make a comment about how great it is to share this ability or this awakening with people you care about. As you know, my son has taken the UI training, and he and I now help each other, just as you're helping our callers. We help each other, and obviously you and your husband do also. And it's a total joy. We can help each other if we get stuck in our egos and we're running around like a chicken with a head cut off going, I can't do this, it's too much. You know? And we can help each other find resources, understand what's going on. I mean, it's just really remarkable, and I want to encourage everybody who's listening to consider that not only can you learn these things, but your children, your spouses, your friends, they can learn how to do this, and you can help each other and bring all the inner geniuses together to work.
It's quite mind-boggling if you consider what we could create as families, as communities, as countries, as the world, if we were to stop this constant cycle of doubting ourselves and beating ourselves up and putting each other and ourselves down and saying, oh, no, that won't work, don't do that, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's really such an, lightening thought that we don't have to do it the way we've always done it, that we're not these, you know, mules of our past, that we can only continue to trudge along the path as we've done before, head down and not really looking around ourselves. Mm-hmm. I know I did that for many decades, and I considered that normal. Really did. It's, you know, I considered that to be quite normal, and in many cases I considered myself to be a luckier version of many of the people that I knew, particularly back in Australia, who are still there. They are still in that same bank. And that's, you know, that's simply, I wouldn't say it was a chance per se. It was definitely a choice that we all make, but they were so unaware of the choices they were making that in many cases, you'd have to say they didn't have a choice at all.
Right.
And for various reasons, I was, although I wouldn't have said I was, I must have been self-aware enough to recognize at some level the choice I was making and therefore start to make these steps out of that world, out of that banking world, out of that workaholic world, out of that let's get divorced because everyone's at work all the time mode, and very obviously from a health perspective in very poor state. Take the steps to move myself out of that. So I really consider that partnering with my higher self, with the unlimited part of myself, was frankly the best relationship I've ever created because it allowed me to completely co-create authentically. Because who better to create with than yourself that doesn't have any doubt? You know, it's the best partnership you can possibly ever imagine, and I really would like to encourage the listeners to consider the point of view that it's the ultimate person in your corner. You know how we say, oh, such and such has got my back, or I know this person will support me through whatever, whatever. Well, really take that to the next level and say, well, you know what, there's me that is completely in my corner because they're completely qualified to be the perfect me. That's the person I want in my box, in my field, in my chosen path in life, because who better? Who better than the best you?
Right. That's really great. We're up to our first break, and let me just point out to you that when we come back, what I would like to do, when I took the training at UI, I was encouraged to tune into people I didn't know and find out things about them, and I'm going to ask you to do that with somebody who's prominent that most of us feel we know when we come back. Are you up for that?
Okay. Absolutely.
So, good. So I'm talking with Audrey Pearson of Accessing Universal Intelligence. She's moved from having an army of professional helpers helping her to spending her days helping others easily and profoundly. Call us at 888-498-0570 to ask your question and check out the website, discoverui.com. We'll be right back. Would you parent your child if he or she were a foreign exchange student? As a host for an exchange student, you'd have five main jobs to do. Those are the same five jobs important in raising kids. People around the world have used this approach to raise kids who are self-directed, make great decisions, and are immune to peer pressure. Get your copy of The Exchange student model for parenting written by me, Eileen Dillon, now available on Kindle. As a 41-year marriage and family therapist, a single, married, step, adoptive, and grandmother, I've got a thing or two to tell you that's going to lighten your load as a parent and help you create incredible kids who will become amazing adults. Go to Kindle.com and download the Exchange Student Model for Parenting today. All right, welcome back to Full Power Living. I have just a few announcements. Remember that this program and all of our programs are available through subscription on iTunes. Just subscribe to Full Power Living. And remember also that we broadcast live from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific Time over Blog Talk Radio and on EmotionalPro.com on Thursdays. In both places, we have a chat, so if you prefer to ask a question today on either of our chats, I'm happy to pose your question to Audrey so you can get her answer. That's blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living and EmotionalPro.com. Click the radio show page at the top. Next week, August 21st, my guest is Dr. Susan Plummer, who is author of a book called Deep Change. After 20 years of researching what happens during times of tremendous change, she's identified 7 steps that we humans go through. And having gone through deep change herself, she describes the experience as moving through nothingness to a vivid world of connection and belonging. Since we're all going through a time of deep change and transformation, I'm sure you'll want to join me for this conversation. That's next week at 9 a.m. Pacific Time as we continue our mission of helping all of us to know the power and importance of human emotions. My guest today is Audrey Pearson, who is a senior and founding mentor with Accessing Universal Intelligence, which you can find at discoverui.com. Now, Audrey, before the break, I mentioned to you that I wanted to ask you to tune in to somebody we all feel we know, but tragically we lost this week, and that is the comedian Robin Williams, who took his own life. And I'm getting messages, you may be also, from many people who are being deeply affected by the fact that Robin committed suicide. We know he had bipolar disorder and he suffered from depression through his life. But I'm wondering if you could tune in to the higher self of Robin Williams and tell us what he would like people to know or focus on as a result of his action.
Absolutely. And yeah, as you say, it's been a topic that many people have been talking about, and certainly, you know, some of us at Universal Intelligence have been tuning in to see what Robin has to say. So he's with us today, and he's quite happy to share a few messages. The very first message he's asking me to share with the listeners is that there's really no need to feel sorrow for his passing. While it might have seemed sudden to the outside world, it was timed for his purposes, and he was in full, I guess the phrase would be full, you know, functional capacity when he took that decision to move on to the next part of his evolution. So he's really asking people not to feel sorrow for or shocked at his passing. It's that inside of him, he'd come to a place where he needed to move on to the next part. He's simply saying it in this moment, I was done with what I needed to be done with. I'm therefore moving on to do what I need to do next. So the energy he's very much giving me is one of serene purpose. He's feeling very serenely purposeful about his actions, so he's therefore asking everybody to, in a way, catch up to where his cognitive and emotional state was and allow him that opportunity to shut one door in order to open the next.
That brings up an interesting question. Some people suggest that when we hold on to somebody in our minds, it hinders them from progressing. Do you subscribe to that? And if so, what would you suggest to us that we could do to help him?
What I'm being told in this moment in relation to that question, Eileen, is that for people at a certain evolutionary state, it's not really possible for us to hold them from the earthly plane as they move over. Robin is telling me he moved over quite cleanly, and he can certainly perceive the emotion from the world, but he's not bound by it. He is telling me that other souls who perhaps haven't spent their lives searching as much, looking as much, looking with inside themselves, if they have sort of spent most of their life looking outwards, then it is possible for those energetic souls to be slowed by what people on Earth are feeling in relation to their passing. But irrespective, the process will continue. It's sort of just universally going to be the case that it can be slowed down, but it can't ever be blocked completely, because that's not respecting the wishes of that soul that is passing over, and that takes precedence to whatever souls in human form are going through. So the advice, I suppose, or the message he's giving on that point is, understand that because we're all connected on every level, provided we can open ourselves to to the levels of communication, then there's never any requirement to feel that somebody has left us or is no longer with us, because that channel of communication is quite easily accessible, again, when we come to that place of self-belief. In a place of self-belief, we can access everything that there is, and it's quite a simple, straightforward matter to communicate with those who have passed over, if they wish to communicate back with us as well. In some circumstances, it's not at that time the requested action, so there may be a delay in that, but overall that channel is always open, provided we're, in a space to be able to hear the true message.
So when I was talking with some people, thank you, Audrey, when I was talking with some people yesterday about this, I pointed out that your ability to accept the kinds of things that you're saying really depends on what you believe about what life on Earth is about. If you believe that we're here on Earth and this is all there is, and life on Earth is the pinnacle, if you will, life on Earth is it, then you'll have a much different reaction. You will continue to feel like you've lost something. But if your belief is that, as I have developed anyway, that we're all here as part of an evolutionary path, as you talked about, and this is one of the stop-off places, and we come here and stay for a while, and then we move on, and we may not be in the same form, but we still have a connection with the same energy, so we don't get lost, per se. And that makes a big difference, how you look at what life is all about, I think.
Yeah. And it can really be simplified, I feel, Eileen, to many people insofar as, well, how do you view a journey? If you get in your car at point A and you're going to point B, do you view that as, oh, gosh, I've got to get in my car, there's going to be traffic, it's going to be painful, and blah, 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 and therefore you dread the journey and you dislike the journey while you're on it, and when you get there you go, phew, thank goodness that's over? Or do you get in your car and go, okay, well, I'm going to point B. I wonder what I'll see today. I wonder what will happen today. Let me be in a place of, acceptance of how this day rolls. That kind of analogy is very similar when we view the journey of our life. I have some colleagues, for example, in Universal Intelligence who, for various background reasons, don't particularly subscribe to the belief system of, the afterlife and moving from soul body to soul body, or human body to human body, for example. And I know it's fascinating speaking with them, because irrespective of the fact that they don't subscribe to that within their belief system, whenever we all tune in together to a certain topic, it's fascinating how we'll always get the same answer, but we'll come at it from completely different angles. And the takeaway I've really drawn from those kinds of experience is that it's actually not so much the belief system that's an issue, as long as part of that belief system is open enough to accept new information.
Mm-hmm.
And the key really is, what is the intention? Are we holding the intention to receive the absolute truth, the ultimate truth about whatever the topic is? And can we let that in, even as a concept, even if we can't physically let it in just at that point in time, if we can let it in as a concept, then, you know, our bodies, our mind, our brain, they're all such wonderful evolved things that they start working on it anyway, and they mm-hmm. mold it, and they fluff it up, they do whatever they need to do with it so that it becomes in a form that we can utilize in our life for the highest and best.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally agree with you about how fascinating belief systems are, but I really feel like we want to be coming at belief systems from the, or talking about belief systems from the perspective of, well, whatever your belief system is at in the here and now, that's what it is. But really allow in the belief that new information is possible, I can receive new information, and I will do with it what is in my highest good. If we can hold that as an intention, then we don't need to be stopped by our belief system necessarily, and we can continue to evolve and move forward.
That's really great. And I'm going to ask you in a little while about the new website that UI has put up at discoveruI.com, which I know you've been working on. And one of the big things that UI teaches is to help us remove what are called limiting beliefs. And that's a way of doing what you're talking about. Before we go there, I think we have Priscilla back with us, and she's ready to ask that next question she promised. Are you there, Priscilla?
Yes, I am, right here.
Great.
Well, actually, I have sort of a two-part question, and it's about relationships. When you've had a relatively successful career and you sort of planned for the future, and sometimes you're so busy doing your career that you don't get to do everything you need to do in your relationships. And I'm very, very goal-oriented, and I was very successful in bringing millions of dollars to the college that I was working with, and helping lots of other students with their lives in ways that they wouldn't have been able to do by them without these special programs. But right now, because of a divorce, the way that the divorce turned out 20-some-odd years ago, I'm not as close to my daughter as I'd like to be. And it's because she went to live with her father when she was 13.
Okay. Priscilla, let me suggest that you not give Audrey a lot of information. Just give her the bare bones and what your question is. So that way you're going to get a more believable answer, okay?
I gotcha.
All right. Good. Good.
So I guess my question is, how do I manage to become just a source of positive support for the people in my life that I love, and just become a source of positive support, but still let them make their decisions, still let them run their lives the way they want to, but how do I become the positive support?
Beautiful question, Priscilla, and one, again, that I know many people struggle with on a daily basis. The message that's coming forward for you on that particular topic, and if you don't mind, I'll predominantly focus in on your daughter, because that's really the higher self energy that's wanting to contribute into this discussion for you predominantly at the moment.
And my husband.
And your husband. Okay.
Who's having a rough time in his career right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. So let me address the first part of the question and then we'll move on to that, Priscilla, if that's okay.
Okay.
So in relation to being able to, you know, interact with people in a positive fashion while still allowing them the opportunity to live their own lives, as you said, the message that's coming forward for you personally is share what you're passionate about. The reason some of the people in your life that you love feel a little bit alienated from you, feel a little bit distant from you, is because they've witnessed you pouring much of your energy into your career and into other things, and they've felt like, oh, well, maybe she's not interested. And, like, you know that's not true, and they know deep down it's not true either, but when we're looking outside of ourselves for the answers about why life is the way that it is, we can only draw the conclusions we can draw at that particular time. So your daughter's energy, for example, is saying to me, I was never really sure if Mum was truly interested or she was taking an interest because she felt she should, because that's what she would do for her students, for example. I wasn't sure if I was a quasi-student in her eyes. So what she's requesting of you in this here and now, however many years it's been since then, she's saying, I just would like to be invited to see Mum, for example, you know, in that show you were talking about. She says, I'd love to be invited to see how happy you are when in the moment of that show coming off. She's saying, I'd love to see Mum blossom in the same way as she wants her show to blossom. And she's happy to stand at the edges to observe that, because she says then she'll feel she's seen the real you. And if she's seen the real you, and she'll go away and have a little bit of a think about it, a little bit of a ponder about it, and then be able to come to some resolution on some of the questions that bothered her about you and your relationship with her when she was a teenager, for example. So she's asking that you allow her to witness some of your, what you might classify as more vulnerable moments, you know, because obviously you'll be a little bit worried about the show, for example. She's saying, let her see that you're optimistic about it, that you're positive about it, but that you're still, a smidgen on the human worried side about it. And that's going to really allow her to come to a few conclusions about, okay, well, whatever we were in the past is what we were in the past, but now we're both different and I can see Mum through a few different vision, you know, sets of vision, and I'm feeling like I can get a bit closer to that because I'm no longer a project, or I'm no longer feeling like I'm perceived as a project that Mum just needs to get on top of.
Ah, thank you.
Does that message make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay, brilliant. And then, Priscilla, if we move on to the question of your relationship with your husband who's having a tough time in his career, what I'm being told there is that he's predominantly experiencing, even though you've got some angst about this show, for example, he's watching you do something authentically, passionately about it, and he's feeling like he's lacking that in his own career. So he's therefore, you know, creating himself a little bit of chaos and that sort of thing to really get him to look at, well, gee, you know what? This isn't authentic to me. I'm not really passionate about this. I'm kind of doing it for other people. I'm kind of doing it because it's a habit. And he's really working inside of himself to get to a place where he can be strong enough to say, no, you know what, that's not what I want, and I'm going to be okay with that, and I'm going to go and seek what it is I do actually want to do. So his career situation is not a reflection on you and your relationship with him. It's a reflection on him actually seeing that, hey, you know what, Priscilla's kind of looking happy on the inside about all of this, no matter what she's going through on the outside. I wonder if I'm strong enough to ask myself for the same thing.
Wow. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You're so welcome, Priscilla.
That's really lovely. That's great. Wow. I just love listening to all of this. The way higher self connects with us, usually we get something, we go, gosh, I didn't think about that at all. Wow, that's really interesting. I could work with that. That's really great. So I want to make sure that I know you know a whole lot about this, so I'm going to have to ask you to abbreviate. But the Universal Intelligence Group just put up a new website at discoverui.com, and there's lots of information on it. I know there are reduced prices on the courses, and there's even a Module 1 course that's only $25 where people can get an introduction to connecting with their higher self for only $25. So tell us the high points of this website and what you're excited about with it, because I know you are.
Absolutely, Eileen. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss this. At Accessing Universal Intelligence, we really came to a point where we recognized that people wanted a couple of different experiences. There were the people who wanted to explore and really see what else is out there in terms of themselves, in terms of their lives, in terms of the experiences they're having in their life without necessarily committing to a whole set of classes or a whole set of learnings. It's just a requirement to just or a request to explore and play and experience in that field. So at discoverui.com, that is very much the particular intention. So there are a whole stack of $25 modules, which is an inexpensive, obviously, price, and it covers a whole range of topics. As Eileen pointed out, there's definitely one that shows you how to connect your higher self to bring about the stillness and the self-belief that's required in order to access that part of you. There's many modules, again, at that $25 price that talk about, for example, soulful relationships and what's stopping you from having a soulful relationship and how you can develop a soulful relationship. There's modules that speak about financial abundance, healing of all types, diseases of all types. We've really tried to create a whole bunch of little modules that provide information in bite-sized pieces that people can explore, play with, and really mull over so that they can feel they're a bit more equipped to make an informed decision about how far they would like to go on this journey with their higher self, for example. So that's very much the highlights and the intention behind Discover UI. We'll see very shortly two other websites go up, one called uicareer.com and the other one askui.com. And the UI career site is very much about people who not only want to do it for themselves to transform their own lives, but they want to transform other people's lives as well. So that website will be very much geared towards practitioners and people who wish to work towards becoming practitioners of this technology in order to really get out there and spread the word to people that, hey, we don't have to do things the way we used to. There's this really cool set of tools that we can use. It's very simple. And it focuses authentically on us. So we're not going outside of ourselves into books to find the answers to help people. We're not sitting in offices with, you know, psychology textbooks all above our head as we speak to people and counsel people. We're really wanting to coach people and mentor people and counsel people in such a way as allows them to access their authentic truth, which will enable them to be their own healer, be their own expert, be their own relationship creator, be their own business success.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very much the intention behind the careers website. And then the Ask UI website will be very much around allowing people to ask questions in a similar kind of vein as Priscilla has been liaising with me on this show, but obviously through an online portal. There will mm-hmm. be some, I believe, the details are still being determined, but we're also looking very much at perhaps the ability of, say, a hotline. So there will be, you know, mentors manning a hotline for certain parts of the day whereby people can ring in and ask, you know, a question and have their questions answered in, say, 15 minutes or something like that. So there'll be sort of an actual phone component or Skype component as well as the actual online component where people can ask. So the Ask UI component is very much around allowing people a personal experience with what's going on in their life right now so that they can then decide whether they want to discover UI for themselves and do a little bit more investigation there and then where they want to take that, whether they do want to learn the skills for themselves just absolutely wonderful. I think everybody in the world would be far better off if they can access their stuff, their truth, and what their blockages are, and be able to remove them. They're very, in that case, they're very self-sufficient. And then obviously if they're further interested in being able to assist others, then they can, you know, proceed up the line into the careers website as well. So
Great.
We're really trying to break it up so that it's in different channels that people can access depending on which angle of interest they're coming through to.
Thank you for that explanation. I learned some things. Speaking of that, I've taken the training at Accessing UI, and I have a couple things I'd like to tell you who are listening. First of all, I'm going to Ireland, and on September 13th, I'm going to be offering an introduction to Universal Intelligence in cooperation with my friends Philip and Mari Newell in Dundalk. So if you're in Ireland or nearby, consider joining me. Now, you can register and get more information by contacting me at Eileen@accessingui.com. So that's Eileen@accessingui.com. And in addition, if you'd like a 15-minute demonstration from me, I'm almost as good as Audrey.
because you're better, darling.
she's taught me. Well, hopefully the next generations get better in some ways. But you've taught me a lot. You can go to my website, which is emotionalpro.com, and check mentoring. Click mentoring at the top of the page, and you can set up a time. I can offer you a free demonstration. So I have one other thing I need to put in here, Audrey, and that is that last month Daniel Rechnitzer worked with Lynette, who is the mother of 5 and a grandmother of 10, and she had been recently diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma and asked to receive healing for the cancer. And Daniel gave her, he spent most of the show with her, and he gave her information on limiting beliefs that she'd been carrying that allowed her to develop the cancer. She'd been carrying them since childhood, as well as giving her a pathway to heal. And overall, he suggested that she was living her life for others for so long that she essentially forgot to bring herself along, and that the cure is for her to reclaim her creative, alive, fun-loving child self. So yesterday I checked with her in preparation for the show today, and she is weakened from her ongoing chemotherapy treatment, so she said she'd prefer not to appear, but she had this to say. She said, "I'm doing really well. Chemo is laying me low for now, but I have changed the ways in which I take care of myself, and I'm learning how to get in touch with my child self. My grandchildren have been helping me to laugh and play and be happier." So I wanted to give you that report, and Lynette, we wish you continued success with this project of restoring your health, because you have a lot to give people in the world, and I want you to continue to be available. So, Audrey, this is a story that I have. You must have stories of people who have had their lives transformed, moved to a different path, had amazing results from their encounter with UI. Do you have such a story you can share with us?
Absolutely. I have so very many, and I know we're getting close on time, so
right.
Let me see. I feel like I'd probably like to share a story that isn't particularly about a physical illness that got cured, although I have many, many of such examples of people I've worked with and that UI has worked with, because obviously that's part of what, you know, Daniel was working with Lynette. So those kinds of stories are very numerous and always heartfelt and so beautiful to hear. But I'd probably like to share the story of those who are more, I suppose, afflicted by the emotional side of things. You know, obviously in tribute to Robin Williams and loads of other people like that. So I feel like I'd like to share the story of a client who had such intense anxiety that they would regularly not leave the house for up to 3 weeks. They would have their groceries shipped in, for example, and the odd visitor, such as the mother or the child, would be allowed to in to see this particular person. But that was really the extent of how this person could deal with human interaction. And I remember, obviously when we're in our own stuff, we think it's the worst thing ever and that nobody has ever suffered as much as we have, right? And I know when I encountered this particular client some years ago, I thought to myself, huh, Audrey, you had your depression easy. You were fine. You still went to work. This is really quite minor in comparison. And this beautiful client, it took quite a while because the resistance to being healed and the resistance to seeing themselves as somebody different was quite immense, which is why obviously the issue was so very extreme. But ultimately where this person was able to get to was they were able to see themselves as somebody worthy of receiving sunlight. It was a very, very interesting journey for this person to recognize that they were viewing themselves as only being allowed to be in darkness, the darkness of the house, the darkness of a life where they couldn't interact with people, et cetera, et cetera. So the simple, I suppose, truth that was required there was that they were worthy of receiving sunlight on their face and on their body. And I can remember, needing to very much work with my own emotions when this person came out of their house voluntarily for the first time in years, frankly. It was very, very warming, obviously, and this person, I remember they just put their face up towards the sun and there were many, this person had obviously physically suffered a lot as well, so the lines on this person's face were quite deeply sort of grooved, but when the sunlight hit this person's face and they sort of, I would have to say, relaxed for the very first time in their entire life, and this person wasn't particularly young, so it's almost like the lines magically disappeared and this radiant face sort of came back down to sort of gently and serenely smile at us. It was like they'd lost 50 years in an instant, and I've got goosebumps telling the story now, and I had goosebumps at the time when I was witnessing it. So I really want to encourage all our listeners that whatever we think is truthful, whatever we think is a fact, whatever we think is the reality that we must live through, and particularly if we feel we must suffer through it, I really would like to encourage you that there is nothing that is insurmountable when we allow ourselves the opportunity to converse and liaise with our higher self and receive assistance from, for example, a universal intelligence mentor to provide that conduit until such time as you can do that for yourself. So please do not think your problem is insurmountable. Please do not think you will not be able to be healed. I have seen everything from drug abuse to alcohol abuse to obviously depression and all the emotional disorders that, from that perspective, not just healed but completely eradicated from people who are willing to be that new self. And all I had to motivate me when I started was, I think there's somebody more intelligent than me that will know something. That's the only motivation I had. I didn't actually believe I could be cured, but I figured there had to be somebody smarter than me who knew the answer. So that's not a heck of a lot of motivation, really, to move you forward, but nonetheless, that was enough to get me through. So please look within self, inside yourself, to see what spark you can hold on to, and please reach out. Please ask Eileen for assistance. She's absolutely wonderful at what she does. I'm so honoured and thrilled and privileged to have worked with her and still be working with her. So please ask for help because we're here offering a hand. So reach out and contact us. We really look forward to hearing from you.
Oh, you practically make me want to cry. You're so good at putting things. I thank you. This has been an amazing demonstration and lots of wonderful information, Audrey. I really appreciate how dedicated you are to opening people's eyes to what's possible from them, for them. And I've certainly benefited from learning to access universal intelligence. And as a person who's dedicated my own life to helping people heal and vastly improve the quality of their life and their parenting, I'm really excited about the new frontiers that are now possible for all of us. And UI is a leader in helping us to get to those new frontiers. And I'll remind you that the website at this point is discoverui.com. So, Audrey, thank you for your incredible part in awakening people to the possibilities that are available through connection with their own higher selves. And thank you for being with us on Full Power Living today.
Thank you for the invitation. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Great. So next week, listen as Dr. Susan Plummer shares what she has discovered through 20 years of research and what she's written about in her book, Deep Change, that can also help you with the changes that you may be experiencing, or most likely are, since we're all going through change. So be with us next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time for our live show, noon Eastern Time. We look forward to having you with us again. Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer. Thank you, Paul. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.